Imagine hitting send on an outreach email to a cold, lapsed client, like someone you haven't spoken to in 2 years.
Yeah, a completely dormant account.
Exactly. Now imagine having better than a 50-50 chance that they will actually write back to you today.
I mean, in the world of B2B sales or agency marketing, that sounds less like a strategy and more like, science fiction.
Totally. Because we just accept that 97% of our efforts go straight into the void.
Right. We've been conditioned to accept failure as the baseline. If you run outreach campaigns, you know the industry standard response rate for generic volume-based sales emails is just a notoriously dismal 2 to 3%.
2 to 3%. It's brutal. But today, for you listening, we are dissecting a stack of sources that center on this recorded, highly contentious debate between a skeptical agency CEO and a growth specialist.
And it gets pretty heated.
Oh, very. They are arguing over a metric tied to a tool called the Agency Revenue Radar. And the claim at the center of this debate is a staggering 58% response rate.
Which, sounds absurd on its face.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. Because our mission today isn't just to take a software company's marketing claims at face value.
Absolutely not.
We need to critically analyze the mechanics behind this number. We need to figure out if agencies are genuinely finding a way to move away from generic spam into what the sources call evidence-led visibility.
The skepticism you're bringing is exactly where the CEO in our source recording starts.
I mean, it has to be, right?
Yeah. When presented with that 58% figure, the CEO's immediate reaction was to assume someone had misplaced a decimal point.
I would think the same thing.
Honestly, any professional who has managed a pipeline should have their guard up when they hear a metric that outperforms the industry standard by roughly 20 times.
Well, I'm bringing that exact same skepticism right now. Because frankly, nobody gets a 58% open rate on a cold or lapsed list, let alone a 58% response rate.
Right, the response is the hard part.
Exactly. I have seen countless pitch decks with modeled theoretical fluff designed to just sell a new platform. Is this just another inflated metric based on a highly controlled perfect scenario test?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the specialist in the recording doesn't try to defend standard email metrics at all. They actually tell the CEO to throw the open rate out the window entirely.
Throw it out, really.
Yeah. I mean, open rates are universally recognized as vanity metrics right now. They're heavily distorted by email server security protocols, tracking pixel blockers.
Oh, sure. Apple's privacy updates alone ruin that.
Exactly. So the 58% being discussed isn't an open rate. It is a strictly measured, observed response rate.
Meaning an actual human being read the message and took the physical action of typing out a reply.
Yes, a typed reply.
But even so, 58% feels artificially precise. Like, how are they calculating that?
Yeah.
And over what time frame? Because a 1 week pilot program doesn't really prove anything.
It's not a pilot. It is based on 3 years of campaign data tracked by a company called ShiroNow.
3 years. Okay, that's significant.
Yeah, and the 58% isn't a single magical outcome. It's actually a calculated midpoint. Over those 3 years, the recorded performance range for these specific evidence-led campaigns fell between 41% and 74%.
Okay, let me do the math.
Yeah, if you map that out, adding 41 and 74, you get 115.
Right.
Divide that by two, and you land at a midpoint of 57.5, which rounds to the 58% being debated.
So we are looking at longitudinal data, not a blip. But the audience here is what really trips me up.
How so?
Well, if you are emailing active, warm leads who are currently negotiating a contract, sure, a high response rate makes sense. But the sources explicitly state these campaigns are targeting lapsed clients.
Yep, the cold database.
Right. If you blast an email to a dead list, you usually get dead response. What makes this list so different?
Well, the list itself isn't different at all. In fact, the CEO points out that the lapsed client list is the exact database most agencies keep on file but completely ignore.
Because the relationship has just gone completely cold.
Exactly. And the delivery channel hasn't changed either. It is still an email landing in an inbox. The only variable that fundamentally shifted is the architecture and the premise of the message being delivered.
So, if the inbox is the same and the audience is the same, the payload has to be completely different.
Totally different.
Because the standard 2 to 3% baseline is built on what I usually call the me email.
Oh, we all get those.
Right. It's an agency reaching out to say, look at our new awards, look at our updated service offerings, here is why we are great, Do you have 15 minutes for a call?
Yeah, it places the entire burden on the recipient to figure out if they care.
And realistically, they don't care.
No, they don't. The shift here is abandoning the request for attention and replacing it with the delivery of asymmetric value.
Asymmetric value. Tell me more about that.
It's moving from outbound marketing to evidence-based consultation. You aren't asking for 15 minutes to pitch. You are providing a concrete, highly specific piece of intelligence about the client's own business that they currently do not possess.
Ah, okay. Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the subject matter they're using to force this engagement isn't a traditional SEO audit or like a generic brand health check.
No, not at all.
The core hook driving this 58% response rate revolves entirely around AI readiness.
Yes. The conversation entirely hinges on how a client's company is being read, assessed, and ultimately judged by artificial intelligence from the outside looking in.
Which is huge right now.
It's massive. We are operating in an environment where users are increasingly bypassing traditional search engines. They're using large language models and automated agents to source vendors, synthesize market options, and answer queries.
So instead of a potential customer Googling a service, clicking a link, and reading a company's website, the AI is reading the internet, making a judgment call, and delivering a summarized verdict to the user.
Exactly. The AI becomes the gatekeeper.
Wow.
And the critical insight from the research is a massive market blind spot. Currently, only 3% of organizations actually know what they look like to these AI systems.
Wait, only 3%?
Just 3%.
That means 97% of the market is flying completely blind. They have no idea if ChatGPT or Claude considers them an industry leader, or if the AI even knows their flagship product exists.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, behavioral science explains exactly why this specific information gap triggers such an overwhelming response rate.
Because people hate not knowing things.
Exactly. Humans, and particularly business leaders, have a profound psychological aversion to unknown vulnerabilities. When you expose a massive blind spot, especially one tied to a disruptive technology that directly impacts revenue, it creates immense psychological friction.
It's the anxiety of the unknown. It's like someone walking up to you at an industry networking event and saying, "Hey, I just saw what everyone's saying about your company in that private executive group chat, and we need to talk."
That's a great way to put it.
You can't just ignore that and walk away. You have to know what's in the chat.
And to take that group chat analogy further, imagine the people in that chat are actively deciding your company's operating budget for next year.
Oh, wow. The stakes are immediate.
Yes. The lapsed client is being measured and potentially penalized by a black box system they cannot see. When an agency reaches out with a specific, current, outside-in position statement regarding that exact vulnerability,
the client doesn't reply out of professional courtesy?
No, they reply because they desperately need to close that knowledge gap.
Okay, the behavioral psychology makes perfect sense. The information gap forces the reply. But I need to put my operational hat on for a second and push back on the reality of executing this.
Sure.
If evidence-led outreach based on critical knowledge gaps is this wildly effective, why is this treated as a new revelation in the source material? Why haven't agencies been running this play on every client for the last 10 years?
Because of the operational friction required to generate that evidence, agencies actually have utilized this strategy, but historically, they could only deploy it in incredibly limited high-stakes scenarios.
Because it's hard to do.
Exactly. Providing a genuinely bespoke, evidence-led diagnostic for a client isn't something you can just template in an email sequence. It requires deep research.
Let's quantify that. What did it actually take to build the kind of customized insight that earns a 58% response rate?
The historical metrics in the sources are staggering. To pull together the data analysis, the strategic insight, and the technical evaluation required to create just one of these reports, it utilized 6 different agency disciplines.
6.
And on average, it consumed 11 days of manual work per client.
11 days of work across 6 disciplines just to send a prospecting email.
Yes. And the financial cost to the agency was immense. The data shows it cost over $7,425, which translates from the £5,500 cited in the original UK data.
Over $7,000 for one piece of outreach.
Yep.
I mean, at that cost structure, you literally cannot run this across your lapsed client database. You would bankrupt your agency before you got through the letter A.
You'd be done. You only spend $7,000 on prep if you are pitching a massive Fortune 500 whale, and you absolutely cannot afford to lose the room.
Precisely. And the CEO in the transcript realizes this dynamic instantly, right?
Yeah, he says, so it was the cost, not the idea. The concept of evidence-led outreach has always been the gold standard, but the barrier was the prohibitive cost of manual labor.
Which brings us to the core mechanism of the agency revenue radar. The sources highlight an automation shift.
This is the turning point.
But I have to challenge this. How do you condense 11 days of deep, cross-disciplinary strategic work into an automated process without it just turning into generic AI slop?
It's a fair question.
Because if it's just a generated template, the client will see right through it, and that 58% response rate will vanish.
It doesn't turn into generic slop because of what is being automated. The technology isn't just generating polite email copy. It's automating the data retrieval and the diagnostic analysis.
Okay, so it's doing the research.
Right. The radar is simultaneously pinging search metrics, analyzing how different language models interpret the brand's positioning, and flagging specific discrepancies like an LLM hallucinating a competitor's features onto the client's profile.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Very. And it synthesizes that raw data into a bespoke vulnerability report.
So it is doing the heavy lifting of the data gathering and initial synthesis, the exact things that used to take junior analysts and strategists days to compile manually.
Exactly. What used to take 11 days and over $7,400 of human capital now takes 10 minutes.
5 minutes.
And the operational cost drops to roughly $303.75, or 225 pounds a month.
That's a massive drop.
And to be clear, that monthly cost isn't per client. That covers monitoring the entire client base.
Wait, from over $7,000 per pitch down to $300 a month for the whole database?
Yep.
That completely rewrite the economics of agency business development.
Yeah.
You are taking a high-friction, deeply bespoke process reserved only for the elite targets and turning it into the baseline standard for everyone.
It scales the unscalable.
Yeah.
Because the cost of generating that highly specific, evidence-led hook is now negligible, you can afford to run this automated assessment on active clients, warm prospects, and, crucially, the lapsed clients that no one wanted to spend hours researching.
So what does this all mean for the agency landscape? We have a mechanism that identifies a critical psychological blind spot AI readiness.
Right.
We have an automation tool that drops the cost of generating that insight to near zero. How does this translate into a broader operational strategy for the coming years?
If we look at the broader market data, specifically the BenchPress 1 pound pound plus survey, which tracks agencies billing over £1 million, the strategic pivot is undeniable.
What are they pivoting toward?
For the year 2026, 86% of these agencies have explicitly stated that existing client growth is their top priority.
86% is an overwhelming consensus.
Mm.
But, you know, deciding to focus on existing or lapsed clients is easy on paper. The reality is much harder.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't just call a client you haven't delivered work for in 18 months and say, hey, we're focusing on growth, want to buy a new retainer. You still need a credible mechanism to initiate the conversation.
Which is exactly how the automation serves the strategy. In the source conversation, the specialist quotes a partner agency's head of growth who utilized this exact system as their primary route to new business.
How to say?
Their description of the tool is really revealing. They said, it's like a radar. It shows us where to act and when to get in touch.
That distinction is critical because it implies this isn't just a one-off campaign where you blast the database with an AI report and cross your fingers. It's a continuous sweep.
It has to be continuous because the digital landscape isn't static. A client's market position moves. Their sector shifts.
A competitor changes their messaging.
Exactly. Or an AI model updates its algorithm and suddenly introduces a new vulnerability in how the client is perceived.
And every time one of those variables shifts, it registers as a blip on the radar.
Yes. And each blip generates a fresh, highly specific, evidence-led reason to make contact. The justification for reaching out constantly renews.
So you aren't pestering a lapsed client with generic check-ins.
No, you are acting as an active strategic partner, monitoring their perimeter and alerting them to changes they cannot see.
You are transitioning from a vendor asking for a budget to a consultant protecting their blind side.
Yeah.
And when you close that information gap for them, you naturally position yourself as the authority uniquely equipped to fix the vulnerability.
It's the perfect setup.
Do the sources indicate what kind of actual financial return agencies are seeing from this continuous monitoring?
The internal data is very clear on the financial outcome. When agencies replace post-launch silence or generic newsletters with this proactive, evidence-led oversight, they average a 17% revenue increase from their existing client base.
A 17% bump to the bottom line simply by leveraging automation to stay relevant.
It's huge.
When you combine that with the fact that the system costs a few hundred dollars a month to run, the ROI is staggering. It takes the mystery out of the 58% response rate. It isn't magic at all. It's just the mechanical application of extreme relevance.
This raises an important question, and it is the exact conclusion reached in the source recording.
Yeah.
When the CEO finally internalizes how the automation removes the cost barrier, allowing agencies to deliver bespoke, critical intelligence at scale, the specialist delivers a line that crystallizes the entire debate.
Let's hear it.
They say, the 58% stops looking like a typo and starts looking like the cost of being relevant.
The cost of being relevant. Wow. That is the perfect distillation of everything we've unpacked today. Because in a landscape driven by automated gatekeepers and flooded with generic outreach, if you aren't leading with evidence that closes a critical knowledge gap, you are just noise in the inbox.
Just another part of the 97% ignored.
Exactly. By leveraging the automation shift, agencies are dismantling the hardest barrier in commercial sales, being heard in the first place. They are taking an 11-day, $7,000 strategic exercise and running it constantly in the background.
Treating their entire lapsed database with the same care they used to reserve for their biggest pitches.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over something that applies whether you run an agency, manage a sales team, or simply exist in the modern business ecosystem. We've established that AI is currently reading, assessing, and judging your business behind the scenes 24 hours a day.
Right now.
Ask yourself, who in your organization is actually responsible for managing that non-human relationship? When a language model decides how your brand is positioned to a potential buyer, who on your team is monitoring that narrative?
It's a scary thought.
It really is. Are you part of the 3% that actually holds the evidence of how the machines see you? Or are you part of the 97% flying totally blind, waiting for someone else to point out the gap in your armor? Something to think about. Until next time.